Well, that was pretty cool. I love the symbolism. So, a guy walks into a bar and he says, "Ouch!" Right? Okay, let's just pretend that that joke was funny. What makes it funny? It's the unexpected. You expect I'm going to tell you one of those old jokes, and then I turn a corner on you. The unexpected. It always grabs our attention. Today we're going to look at a story where we see God do the unexpected. We see Paul show up and do the unexpected. But in reality, we've been studying these stories all throughout this Easter season. You remember several weeks ago when I launched this series on Acts, I asked you a question, and now it's the final exam. You ready? I said, "He is risen! Now what?" As Jesus sent his disciples off into the world. And we've been seeing how God and the Holy Spirit has equipped the apostles to take this message out. And as I've been listening to the stories, as Pastor Mark and Pastor Chris have been telling us these stories, something about the nature of God has gripped me. God is a boundary-breaking God. See, when the message of Jesus came, it came in a Jewish box. It was a Jewish Messiah, Jewish disciples. And if God wasn't a boundary-breaking God, it would stay in Jerusalem. Because as I've listened to these stories, I realize that they are as much a conversion of the messenger as they are of the recipient. Remember Ananias? He had to be converted before he was willing to talk to Saul. Peter had to be converted before he was willing to talk to a Roman centurion. Had to be pulled out of that box. And over the last 2 weeks, we've seen what the response is to the gospel, which is this overflow of generosity, because the final box that God pulls us out of is the box of ourself. And so today we're going to conclude this series in Acts, looking at Acts 16. Would you grab your Bibles and pull them out? I want you to follow along the lesson that was read earlier. In Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at the story of Paul and Silas. Now, we saw last week that Paul is in Philippi, and he met Lydia, the seller of purple, last week. And so he and Silas have been doing their job throughout Philippi, walking around. And this little girl latches on to them. And she is a fortune teller. And she's coming behind them. And she is like the first century version of the psychic hotline. Because anybody who was anybody in the Roman world, if they were going to do something important, they would consult one of these little fortune tellers. And if she's the psychic hotline, what does that mean? Money. People were willing to pay a lot of money, not to her, but to her owners, because she was a slave. Now, the interesting thing about this little girl is that she's actually telling the truth about Paul. Did you hear what she said? She said, "These guys are servants of the Most High God, and they're talking about salvation." And you think, that's pretty good. But in that day, those words weren't unique. Because the Romans talked about that all the time. And probably the Philippians, when they heard this girl, what they heard her say was, "Ah, Paul and Silas, they're prophets of Zeus. And if you sacrifice to Zeus, you'll be healthy and wealthy, kind of like the Emperor Caesar has given to us. That's our salvation." And Paul really didn't want to be associated with that particular message. And so he finally gets to the end of his rope, and he turns around and he says, "You know, you're cute and everything, but evil spirit, get out of this little girl." And it leaves. Now, I want you to look in the... I'm one of those kind of guys that I can find humor in the Greek, okay? That makes me a Greek geek, but that's okay. In verse 18, because I think the author of Luke, in the way he writes this, he's having a little fun. Because he says... In verse 18, he says, "At that moment, the Spirit left her." And then in the next verse, he says, he uses the exact same phrase, and he says, "The slave owners, their hope of profit left them. Money, gone. It's flying away. So when somebody takes your money, what do? They got mad at Paul. See, this wasn't a spiritual issue for these masters. This was a financial issue. And when somebody steals your cash cow, you take them to court. And that's what he did. He dragged Paul and Silas to the magistrates. And the Romans, they really didn't like Jews very much in the first place. So it was easy to stir up this prejudice against these Jewish teachers. And so the magistrates throw them into prison. But not only do they throw them into prison, they have them beaten with rods, with a Roman beating. Just like Jesus received a Roman beating. But here's the kicker in this story. It was against Roman law to beat someone if they were a Roman citizen before a trial. And what they failed to do was ask Paul if he was a Roman citizen, which he was. So not only was Paul falsely accused and dragged before the magistrates, he was illegally beaten severely and then put in the dungeoniest part of the prison, in shackles. So here it is, midnight. And then an earthquake comes, shakes the place, and the gates fly open. Now let's review the story. Slave girl, expected. Casting out the spirit, expected. The slave owners getting mad, expected. Paul and Silas thrown into jail, expected. Now the very next thing that happens, what would you do if you were Paul and Silas? The middle of the night, your shackles fling open, the doors open. I'm out of here. I would be running out so fast. But what does Paul do? He looks over and he sees that the jailer who had noticed the gates were open was about to take his own life. And in that moment, Paul stops and he takes compassion on the jailer. Unexpected. In that moment is when the gospel breaks loose in the story. Throughout this series, we've been seeing what the gospel does to people. It makes us do unexpected things. See, the gospel is a gift to us. The gift of God's love. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. And yet God gives it to us. And when we have been freely given something, what should our response be? To freely give back. And that's what Paul demonstrates. See, it's a contrast between the slave owners and Paul. Because when the slave owners were violated, where did they look? Me. They sought justice and vengeance against their violation. But when Paul was violated, who did he see first? He saw the jailer first. The very symbol of the thing that was putting him in his place of violation. He takes compassion on him. That is the gospel. When we have the gift of God in our life, it causes us to do the unexpected, to break forth in generosity. And see, generosity is a simple picture. It looks like this. I want you to do this with me. Would you just open up your arms like this? Do it, because it really feels good. Generosity looks like this, not this. It's this. Arms wide open. Now, what does that look like in our lives? When we started this series, I told you that each one of us is going out into a world. If you're parents, you're going into a world of children. If you're students, you're going into a world of teachers and classmates. If you're employees, you're going into a world of the marketplace. So what does this look like in our world? Well, let's go to a place that many of us travel. Let's go to the freeway. What does this look like on the freeway? You're driving along, and the guy next to you is like, oh, I'm on the cell phone, and then, boom, they cut you off. Now, in that moment, what is the appropriate gesture? It's this. Think about this. Nobody can cut you off if you let them in. Now, let's look at our world of parenting. Oh, I wish I had a device where I could just turn back time by just 13 seconds and redo those moments. Those moments where you walk into a room and your son has taken every videotape and every book in your whole house and created the world's largest domino system all throughout your house. And he looks up and he says, look what I did. And you, in that moment, we are stewards of the gospel as parents. And where do we look first? Or those moments when your girls have been out in the back in the wilderness and collecting all of their treasures and they bring them home to you, this pile of junk covered with dirt on your newly swept patio. And they set them down and they say, Dad, look at my treasure. In that moment, how many times have I blown the gospel in that moment? And my reaction to their joy crushed their spirit. Why? Because I was looking at me. How could you do this to me? Rather than saying, wow, you. We can get to the cleaning up later. But in this moment, the gospel of generosity can be poured out. Can we dream for just a minute? Imagine what this place would be like if every one of us lived like this all the time. Needs would be met. Hurting people would find comfort. Hungry people would be fed. And can we get super, super practical for just a second? Our budget would be met. We would have no worries. We would have more than enough to fund the ministries that God has called us to if we were all living in generosity with arms open. Now, let's go back to the story because it doesn't end there. I want you to look at the jailer. What happened when the jailer encountered this generous heart? How did he respond when he saw Paul gush forth the gospel? He said, where do I get me some of that? Otherwise translated, what must I do to be saved? And he was open to hear the message of Jesus. And he gave his life to Jesus. And not only that, but do you see what he did in the story? He took Paul home with him and shared a meal with him, and he was a nursemate to his wounds. Do you understand how miraculous that picture is? That a Roman jailer would bring home a Jewish prisoner, and they would eat a meal together? That is the gospel. That is a result. When we're given something freely, we give it back, and we become one. Now, were you paying attention when the gospel was read earlier? Do you remember what Jesus prayed? You know, he was praying for us, for all who would come after his disciples. And his prayer for us was this: Father, I pray that they would be one. Why? So that the world would know that you have sent me. We call ourselves a ministry of grace in the heart of Andover. When people look at us, you know, when the world looks at us, they don't listen to our words. They watch our behavior. What do they see when they see us? Do they see this or do they see this? I want to close with one story. Maybe you heard it last year. It was on NPR News. It's a story of a man named Julio Diaz, who was who is a social worker in the Bronx, in New York City. And every night on his way home from work, he stops at a subway station to eat at his favorite diner. And one night last year, he gets off the train onto an empty train platform, and he meets a teenage boy who holds him up with a knife. That is a defining moment, isn't it? And in that moment, Julio Diaz gives the guy his wallet. And as he's walking away, Diaz says, "Hey, wait a minute, stop. You know, if you're going to be robbing people all night, it's really cold out. Why don't you take my coat so you can stay warm?" And the guy's like, "What? Are you serious?" And Diaz said, "Yeah, you know, I got off this stop so I could eat at this diner. You want to join me for dinner?" And the kid's like, "Okay." So they go to dinner, and they're sitting in this diner, and the waitresses come up, and the dishwasher's like, "Hey, Julio." He's like, "What's up?" And the kid's like, "Man, you know everybody. Do you own this place?" And Julio said, "No, I just come here all the time." "Yeah, but man, you're even nice to the dishwashers." And Julio said, "Weren't you ever taught you're supposed to be nice to people?" The kid said, "Yeah, but I didn't think anybody lived like that." And so Diaz said to the guy, "You know, I would buy you dinner, but you have my wallet." So the kid gives him his wallet back. And Julio says, "You know, here's $20 because I can tell you really need it. But I ask for one thing in exchange. Give me your knife." And the kid gave him his knife. That is what the gospel looks like when we live in the moment and we pour out of ourselves. When we don't look at our violation, but we look at the person outside of us. Let's go out this week and be people who live like this. Would you stand with me? We're going to respond.